We want to think about the most important thing in life is to find out how a fallen, carnal, rebellious son of Adam can become reconciled to God before a holy God and before a holy law. And God in his holy law said, the soul that's all souls are mine, the soul that sins it shall die. And that's been God's law from the Garden of Eden on down to now. The Bible said in another place, all has come sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me read you in the Old Testament how sinners could become reconciled to God. And then we'll try to read you in the New Testament how people become reconciled to God. Over in Leviticus, the 4th chapter, the 27th verse, said, if anyone, Moses just established a tabernacle in the wilderness, a dwelling place for God upon the earth, and God before it is the first house that ever been built upon the earth, for God's dwelling place in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And Moses is telling them here how that they can become reconciled to God if they sin against God and his holy law. He said, if any one of the common people through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, to have a guilty conscience, and to become reconciled to God, we have to come before him guilty. All through the Old Testament, the New Testament said, let all the world come guilty before the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if he sin a sin, he hath came to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sins which he hath committed. Either a sinner has to die for his sins or find a sinless substitute. And when this sinner come up before the tabernacle, the priest stood there all day long and brought his little goat to make atonement for his sins. Here's what he had to do. He shall lay his hands upon the hands of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offerings. He had to bring that little innocent lamb up to the priest, lay his hands and confess his sins over that little innocent animal. And then he had to slay that animal and catch his blood and watch that little animal kick and die in his place. Because God's laws always has been, always will be. Without the shedding of blood, there's no pardon or forgiveness for sins. And notice what the priest would do in the Old Testament. And the priest shall take the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offerings, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken from the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savior unto the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. He come guilty up to the tabernacle in the wilderness and brought his little innocent sin offering. And the priest, after he'd slay that little innocent animal, he'd put his blood up on the altar in an atonement for this sinner's sins, and they'd be forgiven. But in another place, if he had wronged other people, he had to go out the same day and become reconciled to his brother that he had sinned against. That's what way you approach God on up till the Lord Jesus Christ came. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary's cross and died in a sinner's place to redeem us from the curse of the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And remember, without the shedding of blood, you'll have to pay for your sins with your blood or find a substitute. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find redemption. And I'd like to read you in Revelation 3:20, the invitation the Lord gave to sinners that become guilty now, and since he came and died upon Calvary's cross. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." My, this is a wonderful verse in the scripture when the Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," you have to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit down in your conscience. And hear somebody present the laws of God, and you have to become guilty there by hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he's alive and in actions. He deals with you through your conscience. And that Holy Spirit will convince him of sin and righteousness and the judgment. And when a sinner opens a door in repentance and comes guilty to the Lord Jesus Christ under the curse of the law, saying he's guilty, because God's law said the soul that sins it shall die, not only die the death of the body, but die that awful second death, forsaken by God, lost in the blackness of darkness throughout all eternity. And then when a sinner comes guilty before God, seeking forgiveness and pardon, I love this. Christ said, "I will come into him." Christ forgives that sinner his trespasses and sin. And he said, "I will come into him and will sup with him, and he will sup with me." A sinner finds forgiveness and pardon before the Lord Jesus Christ, then he gives him his Holy Spirit. And his body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. Then he is in Christ Jesus. Let me read you over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Said, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? And if you've been born of the Spirit of God, then your body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price." The Lord Jesus Christ bought you yonder on Calvary's cross when he died in your place. He paid the ransom there. "Therefore," he said, "each one is born of the Spirit of God should glorify God in your body, in our bodies, and in our spirit, which are God's." So if we're really born of the Spirit of God, then we need to try to glorify God in everything we do and praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse in our place. When a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in to abide with us, then you and me can claim all the promises in the New Testament that we are in Christ Jesus. We've been born into him and in his kingdom. And he dwells in us. And I want you to notice on through the New Testament, all the promises, so many of them, is made to the ones that's in Christ Jesus. You need to examine the New Testament for your own personal knowledge. And then when we are born into the Lord Jesus Christ, we can claim all them promises in the Bible to them who are in Christ Jesus. Then we can say, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Paul told the Galatians over in Colossians 1:26-28, he said that God had a secret from the foundation of the world that's revealed to the Gentiles now, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? It's really, we need to examine our relationship to God over and over. And be sure you have a good prayer and relationship with God, and that your body is truly a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you're trying to let the Spirit rule over your body and control all of its desires and ambitions. Let me read you over in Romans 8 chapter about one of the great promises that we have in Christ Jesus. The first verse, 8 chapter Romans, said, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Which are in Christ Jesus. Are you sure you've been born into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit? And who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to this wonderful promise in the second verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. To thank the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law and redeemed us from the law of sin and death. And that's what the law that a sinner's under, if he's a mature creature. Let me read this again. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And he don't have no fear of judgment in this life. If we're walking after the spiritual things of life, and there'll be nothing to fear in the world to come. So let me read you in Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. We need to be sowing after the things of the Spirit. Listen to this awful statement. He said, but let me read the whole verse again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. And now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you hadn't been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and your body become a temple of the Holy Spirit, he said, you are none of his, you are none of his. Let me read that again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's none of his. Listen to what he goes on to say in the 10th verse. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit that God gives you when you're born into his kingdom is the same Spirit that had power to resurrect him from the dead. And notice what he said, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. You will not be resurrected by that Spirit, because the Bible said that The one that's been born of the Spirit of God in the resurrection is going to be raised a spiritual body. And now is when the time you need to make sure that you've been born into Christ Jesus and that His Spirit is dwelling in you. Go on down to 14th verse. It said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Are we being led by the Spirit of God or the things of the flesh? He said, "They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. When you're born into the kingdom of God, then you're adopted into the family of God." And then he said we could cry, "Abba, Abba, Father." Then we have a right to go to our Father in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from the curse of the law and gave us His Spirit when we came guilty before Him and found pardon and forgiveness. Then the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with them, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when the Lord Jesus Christ come back after His children. If we've been born to the Spirit of God and His Spirit dwelling in us, then what a glorious time it's going to be when He takes us to be with Him throughout all of eternity. Let me read you over in 1 John. He said, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." And over in 1 John 5:12, it said this, "He that hath the Son hath the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that the Son implanted in him, hath life, everlasting life, to live on out through eternity." But listen at this awful statement, "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So the most important question in all the world, have you been born of the Spirit of God? And does the Holy Spirit that the Lord gave you control your life? He that hath not the Son hath not life. Over in Romans 8:1, let me read it again. "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because He set us free from the law of sin and death on Calvary's cross." And my prayer for each one listening, that they might be sure that they have found the Holy Spirit, been born into the Lord's kingdom and dwelling in the Christ Jesus, so they'll have no condemnation in the judgment or in this world, either one, as I bring this program to a close.